Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Our thanks go to the team of KURC members for this service, and we look forward to hearing God's words. Pastoral news: Marion Ayres, Peggy Chegwin and Marguerite Scott remain in their hospitals. And we say welcome to Sulhi as she returns here for a short visit. Where's she gone? She's hiding. Now, Rhiannon Bone, a member of our church, is moving home locally, and she would welcome some help to move her things. We're a bit flaky on the date. It's We're not flaky at all. It's Saturday, the 2nd of March. I'm now going to be quiet for a moment, and I'll explain in a minute. So, Soo Jun, who is a worker who will be coming to work amongst us from South Korea, is arriving from Korea this Wednesday. And we need someone to meet and greet and to take her to her new home in New Malden from Heathrow Airport. The reason for the pause would it best be someone who speaks both Korean and English. Book club will be on Tuesday, and all are welcome, whether you've read the book or not. And it starts at 7:30 and is at Katie Frost's house. Katie, there she is at the back, waving. You'll be sorry to hear that Hayan, our extremely gifted cellist, is going back to Korea at the end of this month, probably for some while. The good news is that she has asked if she can give a farewell recital in our church, and this has been arranged for this coming Thursday at 12:30. And she will be accompanied on the piano by her mother. Admission is free, with a retiring collection. And finally, Steve would like to say something.
I have another moving request. We have a lovely church building, huge, has lots and lots of storage, but from time to time the storage gets full. So tomorrow morning, a group of us are going to be clearing out cupboards from the top floor. And if anybody could come in just for an hour or so, all day if you like, but just perhaps for an hour or so, to help get stuff from the top floor right down to the bottom, and there will be a skip, I presume, outside here. So we would appreciate some help. Thank you.
Let us come together to worship God, confident that our hope lies in the death of Jesus on the cross and his subsequent resurrection. The risen Christ is our promise of life now and life after death. Amen. Now we'll sing our first hymn, number 586, All My Hope on God is Founded.
Thank you.
Now we're going to say together Psalm number 1, which is up on the screen. Happy are those Let us pray.
A prayer of adoration from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us, and we are his. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, prayer of confession, based on an idea from faithandworship.com. God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and despair, and lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, when our lives get too comfortable, remind us that it is you who provide all we have. Give us hearts generous towards others. God of healing, God of wholeness, when we think we have earned the food we eat, remind us that it is you who make all things grow, and give us hands willing to share with those in need. God of healing, God of wholeness, when our lives are full of joy and laughter, remind us that it is through your grace that we have life. Give us spirits willing to share the good news. God of healing, God of wholeness, when people praise us for what we do or say, remind us that it is you working through us who they praise. Give us minds to acknowledge and praise you in each other. God of healing, God of wholeness, in this precious moment, in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence to know that here broken lives are made whole. And finally, a prayer of thanksgiving. Risen Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are our risen Lord. We thank you that you forgive the things we do that damage our world. We thank you that you forgive the things we do that bring shame upon your church. We thank you that you forgive the things we do that cause harm to each other. We thank you that you forgive the things we do that cause harm to ourselves. We thank you for your never-ending love for us, a love that forgives and goes on forgiving. Amen. Now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'll bring the crisps. Right, I've got some words here. Wow, you've answered the question before I even asked. Yes, they are homophones. Well done. And what does being a homophone mean?
They have the same sound but different spelling.
They have the same sound, but they're spelt differently. So we've got the sort of meat that you eat, and we've got meeting somebody when you say, how do you do? What about the C's? What's the difference between the two kinds of C? What do you do with this C? Use your
eyes.
Use your eyes. And what's the other one?
The ocean, I guess.
Ocean. Yes. So they're examples of homophones. And I've got another one here. Do you know what they are? What's the top one? You've got two of them in your body.
One's bottom of your feet, and the other one's where you heal someone.
Can you think of another word? Can somebody give me another word for healing something? Make them better. Right. And Jesus did a lot of healing, a lot of making better. He healed a blind man who couldn't see. He healed a man who couldn't walk. He made children feel better because he showed that he had time for them and wanted them to be with him. And he made a tax collector who collected more money than he should. He made things better for him. He showed him how it was wrong. And the tax collector was popular and happy again. So if we want to help heal something or make something better, a good way to find out how we might do it is to find out what Jesus would have done and try and do it the same way as he did.
We now have readings from Scripture, and the first reading comes from 1 Corinthians, and Wilhelmina Bryan is going to read this for us.
Now, since our message is that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that the dead will not be raised to life? If that is true, it means that Christ was not raised. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we have nothing to preach and you have nothing to believe. More than that, we are shown to be lying about God, because we said that he raised Christ from death. But if it is true that death are not raised to life, then he did not raise Christ. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion, and you are still lost in your sins. It would also mean that the believers in Christ who have died are lost. If our hope in Christ is good for this life only and no more, then we deserve more pity than anyone else in all the world. But the truth is that Christ has been raised from death as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised.
The next reading comes from Luke, and it will be read for us by Ina Atherton. Luke 6, verses 17 to 26.
Jesus teaches and heals. When Jesus had come down from the hill with the apostles, he stood on a level place with a large number of his disciples. A large crowd of people was there from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from the coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those who were troubled by evil spirits also came and were healed. All the people tried to touch him, for power was going out from him and healing them all. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Happy are you poor, the kingdom of God is yours. Happy are you who are hungry now, you will be filled. Happy are you who weep now, you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and say that you are evil, all because of the Son of Man. Be glad when that happens and dance for joy, because a great reward is kept for you in heaven. For their ancestors did the very same things to the prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich now. You have had your easy life. How terrible for you who are full now, you will go hungry. How terrible for you who laugh now, you will mourn and weep. How terrible when all people speak well of you, their ancestors said the very same things about the false prophets." Thanks be to God.
The foundation of our faith is that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, so that we may have eternal life. If the end of this Jesus story was that he died and was buried, what have we to hope in? With no resurrection, what is there for us to hope in? But it is the fact that Jesus rose again which gives us hope and purpose and life. Why go to all this trouble? Because God loves his creation, and we are part of that creation. Unfortunately, sin got in the way of that relationship of our loving God longed for. So God sent his only son, Jesus, to live on earth and show God's love, mercy, heart for people, and as a final demonstration of his love, to defeat sin for all time. So Jesus became human and grew up living and experiencing life on earth, all the time showing and demonstrating that the love and power of God, standing up for justice and fairness as he travelled around Israel. Then the final act. He was crucified and was buried, and then he rose again. He had defeated evil. The curtain between heaven and earth was torn, and the path between God and earth was cleared, so that we too could be in relationship with God and have eternal life. Yes, our bodies will die, but that is not the end of the story. We too will be raised back to life to live with God in heaven. And as a songwriter put, "And when we have been there 10,000 years, shining bright as the sun, we will have no less time to praise God, to praise our God." Our Father, our faith, is based on the hope of eternal life, something to look forward to, not dread, Eternal life is our inheritance. Therefore, we have nothing to fear in death.
In Britain today, it is all about the now. Life is temporary. Death is certain and final. According to popular culture, the best we can hope for is a life well lived and then pass the baton to the next generation. Really? In today's reading from Corinthians, Paul argues for a truth in our faith that blows this popular notion wide apart. That of the concept that Christ has overcome death and that all believers will one day be raised to life, that God can overcome death. Of course, God is God after all. With God, all things are possible. Paul asserts that if people believe resurrection to be impossible, they are suggesting that the apostles, the very ones chosen to be witnesses of the resurrection of Christ, bore false testimony. They lied. They were false witnesses. Jesus, after his resurrection, appears to them and was seen by them for the very purpose of showing he had been risen from death by God, and they were sent into all the world to bear their testimony to this truth, which they did accordingly. To Paul, to deny the resurrection is to deny Christ, to basically miss the point. Living in quite a comfortable modern-day Britain, it is all too easy to forget the essentials of our faith. To me, it is more than just turning up on Sunday to worship, to read a bit of the Bible here and there, to possibly have some good intentions and be nice to people. It is about following Christ himself, the one who overcame death for us, to pick up our cross, to endure suffering of whatever nature in this life, to understand the gifts God has given us and use them for the benefit of our fellow human beings. We can't earn it, we certainly don't deserve it, and on top of this, we're promised eternal life, a life beyond death. Death is not the end, but another beginning for us. Grace and resurrection are the game changers. They are the real deal. They talk of eternity, of love beyond comprehension, and an intimate relationship with the one who not only loves us, but one day will rise us from death as well. Good news indeed.
Do we live our lives in the hope, power, and expectation that we too will be raised again? Do we live in the goodness and the power of the resurrection? When we decide to put our faith in Jesus, we are saying, yes, I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that I may be freed from my sins and have eternal life. Following Jesus is about more than that one confession. It is the beginning of a lifelong journey. As we learn and grow in our faith, we are challenged by the everyday ups and downs of life, our fears and anxieties for now and the future that influence us to greater or lesser degrees through life. Jesus died and rose again and conquered death and made the way possible for us to live in the power of that victory. On our journey with God, we need to constantly remember to live in the life of the resurrection. We know that the tomb is open and empty, but do we still act as if it is not? Does fear mean that we act as if the stone is still there? The reality is that the stone is not there. The way is open. Face the fear and step into the empty tomb. It's not dark. The door is open and we can go in. What's in the tomb? Grave clothes. One, mindfully folded and left where Jesus' head lay, and the other left where it had fallen off? Do we walk around still wearing our grave clothes? Shame, guilt, hatred, unforgiveness, control, for example. We too can take off those grave clothes and leave them behind. And in doing so, our lives can gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. The final transformation coming when we too die and are raised again.
Lord, we pray that we will take these thoughts home with us. We will ponder them. And we will let them lead us to action, Lord. Amen. Now we'll sing the next hymn, which is In Christ Alone, and the words will be on the screen.
These
verses from Luke we've just heard. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. O God, giver of healing and wholeness, we come to you. You are our hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the healing of the world, a world torn apart by conflict and war, that leaders and rulers may have wisdom to know and courage to do what is right. Inspire the leaders and rulers to act with humility. We pray that they make peace and justice a priority, that they find the true way to reconcile people of different race, color, and creed, so that people all over the world may have freedom and live in security and peace. O God, giver of healing and wholeness, we come to you. You are our hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And praying for the healing of the world, a world where division between race and religion, neighbour and family leads to distress, anxiety, and fear. We pray for those subjected to violence, the persecuted and oppressed, those exploited, ill-treated, broken, traumatised, in battle zones, broken states, in our streets, in the workplace, and in the privacy of home. We pray for your healing to be present in the lives of hurting people, those threatened and trapped by hatred and greed and cruelty, those who are neglected, unwanted, alone, of fractured families and broken homes. They are physically and spiritually hurting, weakened, depressed, crying out to feel loved, wanted, and cherished, yearning for healing. We give thanks for the people we know and love, and for strangers. We pray that you comfort those who are sick, who face surgery, who are enduring long-term illness, those preparing for death. O God, giver of healing and wholeness, we come to you. You are our hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And let us pray for the healing of ourselves. May we see our own need for healing and receive the touch of your presence in our lives. Come and renew us. And as we receive from you, so may we reach out to others. We pray for a world that needs to know your love, your hope, your peace, your joy, your healing and salvation. O God, giver of healing and wholeness, we come to you. You are our hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Let us continue our prayer as we give the offertory. Please accept these gifts of money we give back to you, and may it be used to your glory by this church. Accept also our offering of the gifts you have bestowed on us, our time, and indeed the whole of ourselves, in service to your glory. Amen. Now sing our last hymn, Thine Be the Glory, number 247. May God, Creator, Son, and Spirit, bless each one of us as we leave this place. May we go out to share with all we meet during the week the love, the light of hope, the grace promised to us, and the joy which flows from Christ crucified and risen again. Amen.